You're listening to the Net Mums podcast with me, Wendy Gollidge.
And me, Alison Perry. Coming up on this week's show...
So it's not just some like worried parents standing on our soapbox getting upset about this. Like doctors are worried about it. Teachers are worried about it. Politicians are worried about it. So everyone has a responsibility to try and do something about it.
But before all of that...
Hello, folks. Welcome to another episode of the Net Mums podcast. Now, I am reliably informed by my co-host, Alison, that she has a very interesting story to kick off the podcast about the Tooth Fairy.
You're so mean. I said before we started recording, I was like, oh, I've got quite a fun and interesting Tooth Fairy story. Right, let the listeners can be the judge of how interesting my Tooth Fairy story is. Well, basically, it was just a bit of a nightmare because my six-year-old twins, thankfully, they're both losing teeth at a similar rate because that would have been a nightmare if one was losing teeth and the other one wasn't.
Oh, it would be competitive, right?
That I mean, they're competitive over everything. But one of them lost her teeth and my husband was out for the evening and I was racing around looking for a £1 coin, could not find one for love nor money. I eventually found one and I was so happy and I did what I needed to do and I slipped under her pillow and all was good. And the next day, my husband says to me, yeah, so she showed me the £1 coin you gave her, or the Tooth Fairy gave her. You do realise it's one of the old £1 coins that the shops don't accept anymore, don't you? And I was like, oh my goodness, what a fail. Because ever since, she's been saying to me, she's clutching the £1 like it's her prized possession. And she's saying to me, can we go into the shop to spend my £1? I don't know. What should I say? Like, how do I get out of this?
Eye contact with the shopkeeper and just try and hope that, like, go with this and I'll pay you in a minute.
I'm just like, or do I blame the Tooth Fairy? Do I say, oh, silly Tooth Fairy, she's giving you some coin that doesn't even work anymore. I don't know.
Well, that's what I did with the elf, because the dog got hold of Elf on the Shelf and when he was supposed to have gone. So on Christmas morning, we woke up and Elf on the Shelf is in the dog bed.
Oh, no.
So I blame the elf. I just said the elf had got drunk on the brandy we left for Father Christmas and not gone home.
I guess
blame the Tooth Fairy.
If we can't blame these imaginary, you know, beings
for our own
mistakes, then what is the point of them?
Indeed. Anyway, it was a good story. I agree. Please, could we have the showbiz intro for our very lovely guests?
We can indeed. Today we are joined by a couple who not only share three children, but also a huge campaign which is trying to change the way that parents view smartphones. Daisy Greenwell and Joe Ryrie started Smartphone Free Childhood last year after a WhatsApp group that Daisy set up for fellow concerned parents went viral. Since then, the campaign has amassed over 200,000 online members, and it's been influential in all sorts of things, including the development of the Safer Phones Bill, along with MP Josh McAllister. Daisy and Joe, welcome to the Net Mums podcast.
Hello.
Good to be here.
Thank you for joining us. So can we start by setting the scene a little bit for people who might not have heard of you or your campaign? So you're a married couple, you live in Suffolk, you've got three children, and we're guessing that, like many parents, you were having conversations about smartphones. How did that conversation turn into this ginormous campaign?
Yeah, it's a pretty strange turn of events in our lives. So how it all started was, I think it was about almost a year ago, in February last year. I've been talking with Joe and friends and my siblings about this smartphone thing. So when's your kid getting a smartphone? And like, do you want them to? And, you know, everyone said, I really don't want them to, but you've got no choice. You've got to do it. Which felt like a sort of crazy situation that we were all in.
Our eldest daughter was 8 at the time.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And, an old school friend of mine, Claire, and I, we both were in the same situation with our daughters where kids in their class were starting to get phones. So we said, let's start a WhatsApp group so that we can support each other and try not to do it. See if we can delay for a little bit because it feels so hard to do that. So we set that up. And then I posted about it on social media. And I don't have many followers, but it just, for some reason, it went viral. And it was started being shared all over Instagram and people started joining the WhatsApp group. And within 12 hours or something, it was full. We started another one that got full. And then, you know, within a week or so, we encouraged people, start one in your area for your county or for your school. And then within a few days, there was one in every county in Britain. So, yeah, it was pretty wild. We thought that we were in the minority and worrying about it. Turns out that actually parents everywhere are really, really concerned about it. So it just felt like this little tornado had entered the kitchen of our house. So Joe and I very quickly realized, like, we either have to do this or we just don't do it. And we both decided, okay, let's do it. And we very quickly quit our jobs and got on with it. I was a journalist. Joe worked doing stuff with startups. So we kind of had some relevant skills. And we just, went for it, basically.
In fact, we gathered all our eggs, put them in one basket, and then... So, just tried to see what we could do with it, really. So it's been quite a dramatic change.
It's an important basket, though. So if you're going to do it, then, it's a great basket to put all your eggs into. Why do you think that it did escalate so quickly? So obviously this is something that a lot of us are talking about. And I would say definitely since you guys started the campaign, that it has been in the news a lot for different reasons. But going back a year, why do you think this one simple idea mushroomed as it did?
I think that there'd been like a lot of pent up worry and concern from parents about it, and parents felt very disempowered, like there was nothing they could do. So I feel like it was a kind of dam bursting moment where everyone was like, wow, like maybe we can actually do something about this. Maybe we can get together and sort of push back against this thing which has just crept up on us all. None of us really chose it. We didn't vote for it. We didn't ask for it, but it's become the norm in a way that a lot of us are now starting to question.
Yeah, I think people, as you said, felt kind of resigned to this status quo of it's just kind of what you have to do, even though many of us, we're very lucky that our eldest daughter hasn't got a smartphone yet. But I think there's a lot of parents and probably a lot of people listening to this podcast who've sort of had to kind of reluctantly give their kids one of these devices because all their friends have got one. And we kind of found, parents find themselves in a situation where they feel like they don't have any choice. And it does feel like that a lot of the time. So I think just there was, as Dee said, all this kind of pent up frustration and emotion, and people were like, yeah, actually, we can do something about this. Let's do that, band together and change this, because the pace of this technological change has been so dramatic. I think one of the reasons why this campaign has resonated so much with so many people is that, the people that we're speaking to, we're in our early 40s. A lot of people are who've got kids at similar age to us are in their 30s and 40s. We all grew up without this stuff. So we know that it's possible to have a childhood where you're not carrying around a supercomputer in your pocket the whole time. And we also know, as adults, we've been through that journey ourselves of not living our lives through our smartphones. And now we all do live our lives through our smartphones. And a lot of us struggle with our own relationship with our smartphone as well, ourselves included. I think everyone pretty much universally wishes they spend a bit less time on their devices. So when you then start to think about your kids being subjected to this technology, and we're not saying it's all bad, by the way, but at a very young age, I think that's just quite a worrying thing for a lot of parents. And so, yeah, there's been this huge technological change, and we're the first generation of parents that have had to deal with this, and we're all kind of struggling and need support from one another.
In all of these conversations, it can sometimes feel a bit like things are getting blurred a little bit, like smartphones and social media can be lumped together as one risk. But do you think that they should be talked about separately and treated differently by parents? And actually, which carries more risk in your opinion?
So I suppose it's worth kind of dialing back a little bit to talking about some of the risks that are associated with both of these things. And so, as we've kind of been thrust into this space of like learning a lot about online safety and, the technology that underpins the social media platforms and so on and so forth, like we've realized and read and learned that there's a growing body of evidence that says that smartphones and social media are really damaging to childhood. So there's all kinds of things that parents worry about. So the big one is harmful content. So children are seeing things that we would never dream of them seeing in real life. So 8, 9, 10 kids are seeing pornography and beheading videos and this like stuff that is just totally misaligned with any of our values as parents. And so a lot of parents are really worried about that stuff, and even if kids aren't seeking that stuff out, they're often seeing it in chat groups or friends showing to them on their computers, on their phones and things. So the content is one side of it. There's all kind of other safeguarding risks associated with it, but even if you put that to one side, I think one of the fundamental problems that it's almost universal amongst the parents in our community that they're worried about is the amount of time that smartphones are swallowing up of our kids' kids' daily lives. You know, many kids are spending sort of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hours a day on their smartphones. And a big part of that is because the business model of the social media platforms that where most of the time is spent is specifically designed to around this the attention economy, it's called. It's around maximizing engagement. So the whole business model is about how do we design platforms, and we get really, really clever people in Silicon Valley who pay tons of money to design platforms that create that target content at us and our kids that is most likely to keep them hooked. And so that's why these two things are like intimately entwined. And it's not just social media. So if you have a smartphone without social media on it, then and it doesn't have parental controls on it that a lot of parents do struggle to set up, still, like, giving a child unrestricted access to the internet in their pocket 24/7 can lead to all sorts of risks and dangers. And so the fact that the, like, we're not saying the internet's bad. The internet, of course, has all kinds of brilliant, like, opportunities for us all and for our kids. You know, we say that we're not an anti-tech movement, we're a pro-childhood movement. It's the fact that these devices are on us 24/7 the whole time. And very recently, just in the last 4 or 5 years, it's become normal to have, you know, 4G, 5G connectivity everywhere you go. So it's these kind of technological forces that have come together to get us to this point where kids now have access to everything, everywhere, all at once in their pockets. And the combination of those things is really troubling.
You've talked a lot, though, about the dangers, but it isn't all bad. It's not. So we talk about experts and parents, they believe smartphones are wholly bad, but that isn't the case. They can also provide connection support. Where do you sit on that argument that it's not all bad?
Totally agree with that. Like, smartphone free childhood wouldn't have started without social media or smartphones, and that there are so many brilliant things about them and ways that kids can use them to learn and to connect with people. And there is a world where they could be that and more. They, you know, there's a world where our kids can use these things without being tied into them by algorithms, without being shown really harmful content. And that's what we want to aim for, is a world where they can use them without it sort of trapping them. You know, it's at the minute, that's not reality. And when your child is on a phone, they will be exposed to the sorts of things which we don't want them to, generally.
A good way of looking at it is that, you know, as Daisy said, that of course, then, like, smartphones aren't all bad. We all love our smartphones. They're so useful to all of us, and despite many of us as adults kind of struggling with that. But if it was black and white, like, these are just harmful, they're causing loads of problems, then you just, like, throw them all in the, like, in the bin, in the ocean, and it's like, you know, we're done and we can all kind of move forward. So some people compare it to smoking, right? And there are some comparisons to be made there, but, like, it's smoking was obviously only bad for us all and for kids, and so it makes total sense for it to be banned. We're not calling for a ban on smartphones at all. As Daisy said, what we really would love to get to is we want to raise awareness of this issue. We want parents everywhere to feel like they have a choice. We want parents everywhere to feel like they don't just have to, follow the crowd and follow the status quo that is damaging. But we would ultimately want to get to the point where there's much more pressure put on the tech companies to regulate these products and design them in a way that isn't just about maximizing their profits. It actually has healthy childhood development in mind. And we're not there yet. A good analogy is road safety. So cars have transformed the way that we live, just like smartphones have transformed the way that we live. But they're also dangerous too. The solution to that problem wasn't to ban cars from the roads. It's actually been a kind of multifaceted approach that makes cars safer. It makes the roads safer. It makes sure there are speed limits. There are driving tests. There's education about the dangers of drink driving, all that kind of stuff. So this is a really, really big societal systemic problem we're trying to tackle. And sometimes we feel like we're mad for even giving it a go. There's going to be... The solution to this is going to be a collaboration between parents, government, tech companies, young people, to try and make this whole situation better for us all.
And you alluded there a little bit to the whole getting everybody on board thing. And this is one of the things, as a parent of a 13-year-old, that I find the hardest. Because at primary school, there's a large chance that you'll know the parents in your child's class. Whereas at secondary school, that isn't the case. And getting the whole class on board is a physical impossibility because I don't know the parents. I don't even know the children. So how do you get around that problem? Short of, I guess it's a bigger question, do you give your kid a phone at 13 at all is possibly the question. But I find this idea of getting the whole class on board a really daunting task as a mother of a child at secondary school.
Yeah, agreed. That does sound like a really daunting task. And I think that the main thing is you don't have to get the whole class on board. I think if your child knows that there are four or five others in their class who also don't have a phone, so they're not the only one, or that they have an alternative phone. There's loads of good alternatives now that aren't a full fat iPhone, but still have some of the things that they need to get around in the modern world. So I think, and also when you look into the kind of figures about it, tipping points, you only need to get to 25 to 30% of a social group for the culture to quickly change. So I don't think you need to feel that you have to get everyone on board for it to happen. But our parent pact, which we launched in September, is a way for parents to do that. Even if you're not seeing the other parents at the school gate, it's a way for parents to sign up, say, I'm going to delay getting my child's smartphone just a few more years and wait till they're 14. And then you can see how many others in your school and class have signed up too. And we've had, I think, 88,000 parents sign that since September. So people are sharing it around and people, you know, it's sort of gone viral in its own way amongst parents who are really worried about this issue.
I had a really interesting conversation with my 14-year-old the other day. We were talking about smartphone use around the home, and she was getting quite upset about it. We were trying to kind of reaffirm some boundaries and get things a bit healthier. And she said that she just wishes that none of her friends had smartphones. You know, it would almost be easier if the only reason really that she wants to use hers as much as she is so that she doesn't feel left out. And it was kind of heartbreaking because it really feels like, to a certain extent, these kids have had no choice in being handed a smartphone age 11 or 12 or whatever it was. It's like, what are we doing?
It's so sad, isn't it?
I know, I can't imagine doing my teenage years with a smartphone and social media. It's already such an insecure making time, isn't it? And to have that added element of sort of everyone watching each other online. And I think lots of young people we speak to say the same thing. They'd say, you know, it'd be better if it wasn't existent. If none of my friends had it, I wouldn't want it either. And it's just that they feel a bit trapped in having to keep up the Joneses, I suppose, in the teenage years of each other and what everyone's doing online. So that's like, you know, kids are calling out for help with this issue as well, and I think it's time we put some safeguards in place and some stricter rules, because that would be good for them, it would be good for us, it'd be good for everyone.
She's kind of hit the nail on the head in terms of the problem, though. That's really the whole thing that we're trying to do with Smartphone Free Childhood, is bring parents together to first of all realize that they're not alone, and second of all take collective action, because the idea is that if you're your daughter's got a smartphone and you know, recognizes the negatives as well as I'm sure some of the positives, but kind of wishes none of her friends did. It's almost impossible to act alone and say, no, you're not having one, because, you know, it's, you know, just when most kids get a smartphone when they go to secondary school, the data's, you know, some kids get it younger, some kids get older, but I think the average age is actually 9, but or by the end of year 7, 89% of kids have got their own smartphone. And that's because that's exactly the age as a parent you really want your kids to find some more independence and meet new friends. And, you know, it's a really important year, particularly, isn't it? Like, they're going to a new school and it's so important that they meet the, you know, new friends and feel confident, feel independent. And if all their friends are on smartphones sharing stuff on TikTok and Snapchat, you don't want to say, no, you're not the one, and we're going to make you feel left out of the conversation. So parents are in an impossible position. That's how we describe it. You either give your kid a product that you know is harmful, they actually probably know is harmful as well, or you risk alienating them from their social group exactly that moment. So it's an impossible position. And that's why, you know, whilst we wait for governments to take action and, you know, these platforms to become safer, at the moment they're hardly regulated at all. It's totally nuts, really, that like an 11-year-old can just go on a phone and just say they're 18 and see hardcore pornography in like 10 seconds by clicking a button. It's absolutely bananas. So while we wait for something to change, you know, politically, we just have to work together. And if we can come together and agree to make these pacts between one another and between parents, then hopefully we can find more classes and schools where that we reach that tipping point and not everybody has one.
And how would you recommend you redraw the boundaries if we're further, you're having this conversation with what younger children, those of us who have now got 13, 14 year olds who've got phones. And as you said, this kind of came upon parents and snuck up on us. And now we're going, oh God, right, how do I make this better? How do you redraw those boundaries without them feeling left out?
I think there are definitely ways that, you know, if your child already has a smartphone, you can make it safer and make it have less of a hold over their lives. Just really basic sort of social norms that we should all have around smartphones, not to have them at the dinner table, not to have them in our bedrooms, and to use parental controls. You know, I think only 58% of kids have never had parental controls put on their phones. And it's, you know, it's complicated. So it's hard for parents to keep up with. But in, you know, having rules in place like that so that kids aren't texting all night, they're not losing sleep, and they're not alone in their rooms with it, would definitely helps if when your child has already got a phone.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, your listeners will probably be aware of Jonathan Haidt's book, The Anxious Generation. It was all about this subject that came out just after our campaign launched. And he talks a lot about, and there's two sides of the same coin, right? Like he talks about, we overprotect children in the real world and underprotect them in the online world. And so it's not just about taking smartphones away from kids. It's making sure that we offer them things that they're excited about and interested in and give them independence in the real world. And so I think just as parents, like making sure we're and I'm sure everyone does this anyway, but the risk is the smartphone becomes the most enticing and exciting thing in their life. Because it's basically designed to be exactly that, engineered by some of the brightest people in the world to be incredibly addictive and alluring. So just trying to make sure that they're engaged in real world activities and real world communities. You know, we've got you know, lots of friends of ours. We talk about this constantly, and so we're lucky that our children don't have smartphones yet, but lots of our friends do. And they talk about how, you know, they're, for instance, one of our friends' son's really into football, and that means that he's not actually that bothered about his smartphone because all he thinks about is football and going to play football with his mates, as an example. So, yeah, I think it's just that thing. I'm trying to make sure that even though, you know, we know like 89% of Sobe Year 7 kids have got smartphones, as parents of those children, like how can we just make sure that it's not the number one thing that they're interested in?
Also, Wendy, I would just add to that, as someone who has redrawn the boundaries quite recently, just being a badass hardcore parent and just like, you know, I had my 14-year-old sitting on the sofa next to me crying and saying, you know, I don't want to be left out and my friendships, blah, blah, blah. And I'd said to her, well, you know, your friendships are really important, but it's not the be all and end all. It's not, we will not base our parenting decisions on what will make you popular with your friends, which is really hard to say when you've got, yeah, you know, a child crying. Cool. But you got to do it. So, Joe, what would you say is, whose responsibility is it in terms of teaching our kids about smartphone use and online safety? You know, should we be adding digital literacy into the primary school curriculum? You know, should all secondary schools ban phones? Or actually, do schools have enough to deal with already and they're already being pushed as far as they can go? Or, like you've spoken already about the tech giants, you know, how much of it is their responsibility? Or is it a mixture of all three?
Anyone who's got like a stake in the future of our like, children, whether that's as a parent, as a teacher, as a government, or as a tech company who's marketing their products to children, it stands to reason that we all need to try and do something about this. But of course, as I touched on already, it's the tech companies that ultimately are the ones profiting from getting our children like addicted to their devices and platforms. And so we do think that really the ultimate responsibility like does lie on them to make sure that their platforms are safe and they're non-addictive. But that's not to say that it's not like up to us as parents to educate ourselves and to you know, educate our kids about the dangers of these things and the risks of these things and the opportunity of these things as well. So parents, like, we I think we would definitely encourage anyone who's listening and interested in this debate to go on our website. We've got quite a lot of resources on there, and just educate yourself as much as possible about this situation. I think one of the things that we realize is that I think it was David Attenborough, he said that climate change is a communications challenge. We feel similar about this campaign. Like, when people actually stop and think about the underlying dynamics of the and market forces that have got us into this position, almost everyone's like, yeah, that's kind of crazy that the most powerful companies in the world are profiting from getting 11, 12, 13 year olds addicted to dangerous products. So that's absolutely crazy. In the end, we need to do something about that. But right now, we all have like I said, the best thing that we think we can do as parents is to educate ourselves, have good conversations about it with our communities, and hopefully make pacts to delay giving our kids smartphones. And in terms of schools, we really do think this is one of the defining issues of our time. And I know you had Rangan Chatterjee on your podcast a while back, and we spoke to him a couple of weeks ago, and he said that he thinks this is the most urgent public health crisis of our time. So it's not just some worried parents standing on our soapbox getting upset about this. Like, doctors are worried about it, teachers are worried about it, politicians are worried about it. So everyone has a responsibility to try and do something about it. And in terms of the school thing, there should definitely be more education around what's actually going on. Why are you spending so much time on Snapchat? Why are you who's profiting from that, and why? I think kids are really open to that message as well, and understanding that. It kind of seems crazy to us that smartphones are allowed in any school context, kids being allowed to have their phones on them in a maths lesson, looking at social media. I know not many schools actually allow that, but we do hear lots of stories that there are lots of schools that that do. Think of some of the things that have been banned from schools. I remember when we were kids, it's Tamagotchis,
fidget spinners,
all this
was
kind of stuff,
one.
Right? And then you've got these a supercomputer that has more processing power than Apollo 13. Children carry them around their pockets, and that's allowed. But that just seems crazy. So we feel like schools, purely in terms of educational benefits, smartphones shouldn't be in the classroom. In terms of children being able to learn to socialize, we don't think smartphones should be allowed during the school day, and kids should be talking to one another and socializing and not sort of sharing clips on social media at break time. But also, we think, as importantly, schools have a really important part to play in this, because they have such influence over parents and over young people. And we're talking to lots of schools as well, and trying to help them use their influence to change this, because most teachers are really, really worried about this. In fact, teachers have been hanging on about this for ages, because they've seen how the change in the last 5 or 10 years, and how distracted kids are, and all kinds of all the problems that we've already talked about. Teachers understand them: the distraction, lack of sleep, kids not being able to focus. And a lot of those, they tie back to this exact issue.
So let's talk about some solutions a little bit. We've seen Australia ban social media for under 16. So I'm assuming that's something you'd like to see happening here as well. But do you think it's a better solution to ban the social media or the smartphone? Or neither?
Well, we don't really want anything to be banned, actually. But, in an ideal world, a sort of utopian vision is that children have age-appropriate access to technology, and that children are able to take advantage of the benefits that technology provide without all these really significant consequences. But we're so far away from that at the moment, partly because of the sort of dynamics of the industry, the social media and giants that we described, that we would say that whilst we're definitely not calling for a ban on smartphones, but in terms of social media, people say there's not enough evidence to be able to restrict social media or raise the age limits on social media. But there was no evidence whatsoever that the platforms were safe or that these were a good idea. This product just came into our world, it proliferated incredibly quickly, and we just got to a situation where it's their childhood is being fundamentally transformed by these platforms, but no one you know, no one asked for any evidence or proof that this was a good idea. So we would say until the tech companies can prove that their products are not only safe for kids, but they're non-addictive for kids, and they're actually, contribute to healthy childhood development, then it does make sense to raise the age limit when kids can access them. It's going to, the Online Safety Act comes into play this year. That's going to mean it's complicated, but basically the platforms have to enforce their age limit, which means it's going to be illegal for them to allow children under 13 on their platforms anyway. So we would say raising that to 16 does make sense whilst we're in the situation where, the harms are really significantly outweighing the benefits here. And we'd love to get to a point where that's not the case and the benefits outweigh the harms and children can have an age appropriate, like, relationship and non-addictive relationship with technology.
There's such a strong link between offline real world safety and smartphones. I mean, most parents I know, the only reason that we've given our 11-year-olds a smartphone is because they're heading off to secondary school, they're getting on buses or public transport by themselves, and you want to be able to have them call you or, in my case, and in many people's cases, track them on an app. How do we tackle that? So if we do stop giving our kids smartphones as young as we are, how do we give parents peace of mind and also kids peace of mind that they are safe?
Yeah, that's really understandable. It's quite nerve-wracking to put your child on a bus and wave them goodbye. But the really good thing is that there are alternatives that aren't smartphones that still give you the ability to keep in touch, to call and text. And there are better and better options coming on the market all the time. And smartwatches, you can GPS track your child and keep in touch with them, but you don't have the risks that come with social media and an open internet browser. And there are new products coming onto the market this year. Nokia is producing a better phone, they called it the Better Phone Project, and they've asked parents, what do you want? And that'll be coming out this year. Explorer, the smartwatch company for kids, are also bringing out a smartish phone. I think what parents want is some of the modern things like maps and music without the harmful things such as, TikTok or porn.
So there's definitely a gap in the market that we're hoping that more and more manufacturers will recognize that there's such demand for parents for something that's sort of in between the two, but it's not a sort of, 20-year-old Nokia brick phone, but it's also not an iPhone 14. And so there are some products that kind of fit the bill at the moment out there. There's more and more good, brick phone, dumb phone, simple phone. We never quite know what to call them, options on the market already, but we're pretty confident in the next year or so there's going to be a lot more kind of hybrid options that make this a lot easier for parents.
We've got quite a few on our website. We've got a list of alternatives that parents can use, which we'd recommend people looking at if they're thinking of taking that route.
And how much of a risk is there of scaremongering around this? The documentary on Channel 4, Swiped, was criticised for saying children are losing their grey matter in a similar way to people with substance abuse, yet the studies don't back that claim up. And there is a grey area here that everybody is jumping brilliantly on the bandwagon that is, we need to do something about this, but what about that risk of scaremongering?
Well, the Swipe documentary was, I think it was the University of York that was involved in the research around that. So I haven't actually heard that criticism, but you're right that it can get, like, it's a controversial topic. And one thing that we're really, really trying not to do in any of our kind of communications or the way we talk about this is scare parents unnecessarily. Like, we're just saying that we need to have a conversation about this, whether you've given your child a smartphone or you haven't. Like I said, we're all trying to do our best in this new frontier of parenting that none of us had to deal with. And so, but it's also really complicated because as soon as you start, judging someone else's parenting, then like the conversation's over. Like, we're not doing that. We're like, everyone is trying their hardest to deal with this really, really complicated situation. We also think it's really important to look at the evidence out there that is like, does prove beyond doubt that there are significant harms that are associated with the giving kids smartphones really, really young. And again, we're not saying that smartphones are inherently bad. All we're really calling for is as a, like, whilst we wait for the products to get safer and the platforms to get safer, just the simplest thing to do collectively is to wait for a few more years. And so we're really hoping that that message is not something that is confrontational. We're not trying to, like, fearmonger or scaremonger anyone into changing their approach, but it's just so important that we have an informed conversation about this topic because it matters so much. I think that's why this movement's taken off, because so many people realize that these, like, the consequences of this shift are really profound, and they matter to us as parents. They matter to us as, like, to our kids. There's one statistic that always sticks in my mind. There was a survey done of 10,000 parents globally, which said that 33% of those parents who'd given their kids smartphones had cried over their kids' phone obsession. So, like, that is such a shocking statistic. Like, a third of parents, wow, this is such a big deal that a third of parents are brought to tears over it. So whether or not, you know, there's sort of academic debate about causation and correlation and all these kind of complicated academic conversations that go on, like, that kind of data just tells you how much this matters to parents in, like, homes across the country and the world, and it's pretty irrefutable. So that's why we think it's so important that we change something.
And on that point about it being across the world, when we started it, we thought this might just, you know, be just a thing that parents in England are worried about. But we've also, since it started, we encouraged anyone who got in touch from abroad, which was a lot of people, to start in their country. So we've now got smartphone-free childhood to 30 countries across the world, from Nigeria, wow, to Costa Rica to Brazil. You know, it's this is a universal thing that parents are waking up to everywhere, and it's you know, it's a really positive story of, like, parents rising up to say, okay, this is enough. We want more control over our children's childhoods, and, you know, big tech, you need to, like, take note and start fixing your products so that we can let our children use them without concern.
Yeah, I am one of those parents who has been thinking about it a lot in the last year or so, but thinking about it all has made me realise how addicted I am to scrolling. And so one of the changes that I've made recently is implementing a scrolling ban in my home, which is, you know, what my 14-year-old was very unhappy about. So whenever myself, my husband or my teenager are at home, our phones have to stay in the kitchen plugged in by the charging point, which seems to be, you know, helping a lot in this home. But who do you think has worse digital literacy, the kids or the adults?
That's a really good question. For Christmas, I got Joe one of these, like, phone lock boxes so that we could try and do smartphone-free Sundays and we'll put our phones in there and just not pick them up. It's so hard to do, isn't it? Because, you know, you're just like, oh, I need to do a bit of shopping, or I need to, like, book a bus ticket or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's an important point to make, is that we have really, like, we had to run our lives through these as adults, and, like, you know, we have to do all the school in emails and all that stuff. We have to do it, whereas children don't have to. So I don't think we should berate ourselves so hard for, you know, let ourselves off the hook a little bit for our scrolling.
That's why I've made it a scrolling ban, because I still think that all three of us in this home should be allowed to use our phones for something useful if we need to send that message or look up a bus timetable or whatever it is. But I want to stop us just sitting there on the sofa, scroll. That's
a bad
thing. I realised
mine broke just before Christmas, and I realised I couldn't put money on my daughter's lunch. There's a fingerprint. She fingerprints to get her lunch, like her balance. So I couldn't give her lunch, and I couldn't I couldn't access my bank and suddenly it's this, like, creeping fear that actually my life falls apart if this thing is gone. So I think you're really right with the scrolling ban. It's not the use of the phone, it's the mindless use of the phone that's the really big problem for me as a grown-up anyway.
Yeah,
you're totally right. But also it's so hard not to, like, remember these, we've talked a bit about the business model in relation to kids, but also for us all, like, these products are precision engineered to just hook us in just to that moment, and then you're in, because they're serving you exactly what they know you need and know you want at any given moment. So it's really, really
hard. It's like in that film Inside Out, the first one, where I don't know if you've seen it, but they do a scene in the film where all of the little things in her brain are trying to keep her concentrating on the thing that they want her to be concentrating on. And that's exactly what the algorithms do to all of us.
Mm. Yeah. But the good thing is, have you noticed that the less you use it, the less you want to use it? And the more you use it, the more you do want to use it. So yeah, I think the scrolling ban's a great idea, because suddenly it just, you just sort of unhook yourself from it, and you suddenly start to realize, actually, it's kind of boring. Why would I want to just stare at everyone's pictures? It's just, I'd much rather go 100% and cook a cake or whatever it is you want to do.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a big, you know, it's not just what we're doing that's going to, you know, in this space, that's going to be a big like story. It's not just kids. I think that we're reaching this time, and particularly because AI is about to come around the corner, and we're all kind of slightly terrified of what that's going to mean as well. But I think there's a growing recognition that whilst, of course, there's extraordinary like advantages and potential for like this computing power that we carry around our pockets the whole time, and how brilliantly useful they are, and they streamline our lives in so many ways. I think everyone's starting to realize, hang on a minute, like what's actually happening here? And we're hoping there'll be a broader movement as well in the coming years, that people are saying, actually, let's reclaim a bit more of our humanity and not spend all our lives like staring at a screen.
Being exploited by these firms in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, absolutely. So finally, if someone is listening and wants to sign up to your pledge and find out more, how do they go about it?
Well, if they Google Smartphone for Childhood Parent Pact, it will come up. It's on our website. You can log on, see where you'll find your school, find your county, and see how many others have signed in your area.
It's quite fun. People quite enjoy, like, you can select your county and then you can see a leaderboard of which schools in your county have signed the most pacts. So people quite enjoy nosing around that. If you Google Smartphone Free Childhood, you'll find it. You can also dig around on our website for the sort of resources. And we're about to relaunch that. So there's going to be loads of more content and useful stuff for parents around this issue in a month or two's time. And ironically as well, you can follow us on Instagram, because we're building quite a big following on Instagram to kind of fight fire with fire.
I think what I find really helpful actually within all of it is that you can join a WhatsApp group specifically for your school and then have conversations with like-minded parents who have kids at your school. So it feels like you can all decide, right, you email the head teacher, right, I've done this, you do that. And you don't feel like you are doing it all on your own. So that's a super helpful feature, I find.
Yeah, sorry, we should have mentioned that. Like, that's such a crisper part of this as well. Like, on the website, you can find a link to your local WhatsApp groups. It's all organized by county. So you can go in and select your county, join the county level WhatsApp group. And underneath those WhatsApp groups, you'll probably find your school's WhatsApp group as well, where you can connect with local parents. So yeah, we're trying to provide solidarity between parents is such a huge part of this. And yeah, hopefully most of your listeners will be able to find a WhatsApp group close to them.
Yeah. And if there isn't one in your school, you can start one and then invite other parents to join.
Although then there is the danger it's another bloody WhatsApp group.
Yeah, we're with you.
And on that note, guys, thank you so much. You have given us lots to think about, lots of food for thought, and we're thrilled that you joined us. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Don't forget, you can get in touch with us on all social channels, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Just type in NetMums and you'll find us. And if you liked what you've heard today, we'd love for you to give us a 5-star rating, press the follow button, and share the podcast on all your socials.